Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome back to the Lantern Rouge Cycling Podcast for the time trial preview for the World Championships, both the men and women's edition. The women's race is on Thursday, I believe, and the men's is on Friday. I got that wrong. So we are in time. We're not doing it too late. Women's on Thursday, men's on Friday, also with a surprise participant, maybe not too surprising, in the women's race. So stay tuned for that as well. I can't wait to get into that preview. But first, the men's race. The circuits are similar between the two. The men's is longer, 48 kilometers. The longest TT we've had in the World Championships since Harrogate. Remember, Imola was like 31 kilometers, something very short, like maybe the shortest ever. Leuven was 44 kilometers, but not as hilly. And last year, I think, was 38 kilometers for the men in Wollongong. Harrogate was 55. This is 48. So back to being pretty long. It's got a few hills in there, 265 meters elevation gain. So it's not as flat as Leuven, but it's also about half as hilly as Harrogate. In terms of how technical it is, Benji, it's not that technical, I don't think, really. It's nothing like the city circuit that we saw in the road race, that's for sure. I mean, then Van der Poel, yeah, I think Van der Poel and Van Aert would just win.
I think so as well. That would be pretty crazy, a time trial on that circuit with TT bikes and so forth, especially with the 15-16% gradients on some of the uphill sections there. But that's not the case in this parcours. We've got a route that has, like you said, those hills, but it's important to note that these hills are 4%, 5%, and for like less than a kilometer in length. So it's not like we've got like a 3 kilometer, 8% ramp or anything, or a 10% ramp where you need a bike change. So no bike changes needed here. There's a bit of a cobble section the last few hundred meters on the last hill towards the finish line. So the cobble skills of Wout van Aert will come in handy. I don't think it's actually going to matter too much, to be honest, but it's pretty funny to see it on the route though. But it's a long time trial, eh? And I kind of like it. Like, I've always been of the opinion that I want to see variation in the length and not just a 50-kilometer one every year, not just a 25-kilometer one every year, so that every type of time trialist can have, like, an opportunity somewhere. So we've had 25-ish, 26, 30-kilometer ones in the past. Now we've got a 50-kilometer one again. So I like that. It does suit certain riders more than others. I think there's riders that do fall off after 25 to 30 kilometers. Would you say a Bissiger is a rider that is also 20-ish kilometer range-ish?
Yeah, and also Kung previously. I think Kung is much better in the 25 to 36K range. I can't remember exactly, but from memory, in the Leuven splits, he was up there with Ganner and Wout, and then in the last section, he slowed down. That might have just been pacing on that particular day, but that's my general gut feeling. But yeah, it's in Stirling, north of Glasgow, and Edinburgh. It's kind of in the countryside a little bit on some A roads. So familiar feeling for Tarling and Geraint Thomas growing up doing A road TTs. And yeah, like they go off the A roads to do a few of these little climbs through Kippen, through Gaganoch, and then up Touch Road back into Stirling. So, but they're more like 800 meters, 3%, 400 meters, 5%, 300 meters, 4%. You know, they're going to be in the TT bars and the extensions for these. The climb to Stirling, though, I think it's to the castle. It's 800 meters, 5.5%. I think there's also points that are steeper than that average, mm-hmm. too, for sure. So, you know, it's a proper punch to the line up the hill at the end. So,
but
if you're cooked, you can lose a fair bit of time there, as we've seen in the Po women's TT, actually, at the end of the Tour de France Femme.
Exactly, that's what I wanted to kind of guess at, how important that final ramp can be in this time trial, because if you're completely washed at that point, completely done at your limit, then you can lose 10-20 seconds on a final ramp. And that's a lot when it matters. So it's all about having that tiny bit left over towards the end, but also making sure that you don't have too much left over when that ramp starts. So I do think the major differences will happen before we get to that ramp, because it's a long time trial, and therefore the differences will already be made majorly. But how about we, for a second, think about this time trial, and you said it for a second, Leuven there for a second. Which ones of the past do you think have the most influence on this parkour?
I mean, Harrogate, but it's 4 years ago, so, you know, Dennis won that one. It was an hour and 5 minutes, the winning time, roughly, but he's not in that shape anymore. Probably Leuven, I would say. Mm-hmm. But then that was Pancake Flat, whereas with the little hills, you'd expect that to suit Remco. The weather forecast, some light showers, could rain, might not rain, road could be... I don't think that'll make too much of a difference because it's not the most technical, but if it is raining, I would say that disadvantages Evenepoel and benefits riders like Kung and Wout van Aert, and probably disadvantages Ganna marginally too. So, yeah, I think that Leuven, that Harrogate TT, but that was also, yeah, so long ago. But yeah, the main contenders are...
Foss.
And I go, hey, yeah, Tobias. Well, apparently, according to the odds, I'll do it by the betting odds. Evenepoel's the favorite at 275, narrowly ahead of Van Aert in second at 325. Mm-hmm. Kung third favorite at $5. Ganna at 575. So it's clearly, and I also see the race quite similarly, there's four riders that the bookies really think are the main contenders.
Yeah.
Remco, Van Aert, Kung, and Ganna. And they are the Leuven guys. That's the top four from Leuven, I think. And it's with Remco as the narrow favorite. And then it goes to... Do you agree with that, Benji? I would be surprised if anybody won outside of that four.
I have the same opinion. Like, last year we had a bit of an upset with Tobias Foss winning. I don't see that happening this year. I feel still that that was kind of a fluke result. Yes, he's a competent rider. Yes, he's a strong rider. But that was a result that is not aligned with the majority of results we've had in the past. So I would say that's unlikely to happen 2 years in a row. And when it comes to the riders you have there, I agree. There are some differences between the two, to what the riders prefer, what distance the riders prefer, what hills the riders prefer. But there's also a major difference in the races they're riding at the moment, because Ganna did not ride the men's road race. We have Evenepoel, Kung, and Wout that did ride that road race. Kung was very good in that. Wout got second, Kung fifth. Evenepoel was relatively... active, but didn't necessarily get the best result towards the end of the race, 25th, if I recall correctly. And Ganna, on the other hand, is riding track discipline. I have a hard time figuring out whether doing the track a few days before the time trial or doing the men's race before the time trial, what will stack up against each other, what is a benefit, what is not a benefit. Can you have weaker time trial because you went all out in the road race? What do you think?
I mean, yeah, Ganna was, I think he was slower than his qualification time when he just narrowly beat Bigham in the individual pursuit final. Not going to pretend to be a track expert. Maybe he normally does that, I don't know. But I don't think he was on top form. But then how does a 4-minute effort compare to what's going to be a 55-minute, yeah, 1-hour effort? I don't know. Maybe he was weaker in the track because he's prepared for the World Championships 50, 60-minute effort. And so his 4-minute effort, which is a completely different energy system, I don't know. So that's hard to say. I would say it is a slight negative. I would, mm-hmm, also say Ganna has not been as dominant in TTs anymore,
yeah,
just generally speaking, throughout the year. I mean, maybe that's wrong. Maybe did he still win his Tirreno one? He did. Oh, like he was third in the Algarve TT, but that's a bit... Oh, that wasn't that hilly. That was still a 50K average. And I wonder, you know, he lost to Kung there by 10 seconds. He did win his Tirreno TT by a big margin, but that was against, like, Kamna came second. So I'm not sure that was the best judge of things. And then in the 55K an hour average TT in the Giro, he got smoked by Remco. So I think it's right that he's not really the favorite, but I do think the longer... I mean, it's weird to say this, the longer TT suit him more. Like, and he only beat Tarling by 8 seconds, who'd crashed in the 32K Volney TT.
Yeah.
So Is that because Tarling's a freak? Yes, but also, I don't know. And then Remco with the road race, Benji. I don't think Remco's in his best shape. This could be really wrong, and I've always been a Remco believer, but the road race, okay, you can say the corners and stuff, oh, he lost in the corners, but he was really bad. Like, he sucked in that race. He just won San Sebastian, and normally, he's a guy that's so good he can win a race without even being in best shape. So in San Sebastian, I was surprised he didn't drop everyone and go solo. I actually was surprised by that. I know he won in the sprint, so maybe, but maybe he's carrying more weight because it's a flat TT where weight doesn't matter, and so I don't know, but I also see Remco, I don't really have him as my favorite.
I think for the road race, I see it more as the continuous consecutive accelerations that hit him very hard, with the fact that his cornering left him in positions that had to have him accelerate even more every single corner. And I think that fucked him over the most. It's very difficult to quantify how much it influenced his race, but I would bet it influenced him quite a bit, knowing that he was in groups behind a lot of the time. Yes, he could have been in better positions once the circuit started in the first place, but hey, that's what happened. I wouldn't say that I'm completely hopeless on Remco for this TT either. If I take a look at these three riders that you just discussed, Remco, Wout, and even Kung as the third rider now, I feel like this is the... In previous years, Ganna was always in the top two favorites. Ganna on the odds is not in the top two favorites now. He's fourth favorite according to the odds, which is not usual. Let's just say that. And I feel like it's the best chance, the best year for Belgium and for Kung to potentially become world champion, which is odd to say because you can't say that about all three of those riders at the same time. But if you take a look at Remco's time trials, if we take a look at Harrogate as the first one, long time trial, was good on the long time trial and so forth. I think he got second in that time trial. But then on the time trial at the Giro, which it's hard to measure that because I'm pretty sure he was already riding with Coven in that time trial, but he started off fast. And towards the end of that time trial, he slowed down. And like, yes, that could 100% be because of the COVID. We don't know that. I expect him to do a better time trial in the pacing than during the Giro, but I feel like pacing plan was kind of an issue in the Giro in the time trials that he did. So if he can find a good pacing plan and be able to stick with the same level throughout his time trial, because on paper, this time trial looks like it's relatively doable when it comes to pacing, depending on the wind, where the wind comes from and so forth, how hard the wind is, in what direction it comes from. In that sense, what will be the hardest part? With headwind, what will be the tailwind part? But it's relatively flat, so you don't at least have to think about a major climb somewhere. Those hills happen, but Remco should be able to pace that relatively okay. When you take a look at Wout, the hills are also not 3 kilometers to 5 kilometers, so I also feel like Wout should be able to handle those quite well. And Kung has been riding pretty strongly on hills in the last 2 years, so if I take a look at those, I'm like, they're actually looking good for this time trial when it comes to the parkour itself. And yeah, Remco didn't have the biggest road race, but I understand that he's still one of the top three favorites for this time trial. And it's hard for me to pick between the four riders of who is actually going to win.
Yeah, I actually don't have a strong view on which of them could win. You know, you've got Remco, if he's in his Giro shape, just wins. Straight up. If Remco is in that stage one Giro shape and can do it for that length of TT, he just wins. He put 30 seconds into Ganna and like 50 seconds into Thomas Roglic Gegenhardt. It was a ridiculous performance. If he can do that, no one can touch him. Van Aert, the parkour really suits him. It's going to be 50 Ks an hour plus. The Jumbo TT setup, we haven't seen perform that well on a high speed TT. The two TTs they've dominated this year were mountain TTs. They were not flat TTs. Kung, always the bridesmaid, never the bride. If it's raining, if it was more technical, I'd go Kung. He's in very good shape, but it's still Stefan Kung. He can win. Don't have a strong view. Ganna, who knows? Good on long TTs. What's his shape like? Not as dominant maybe anymore, but we haven't seen him on a 50K TT for a long time. Let's go to the sort of the second row. I think both of us, yeah, agree that it's really hard to, there's pluses and minuses for the top four, which is why this is going to be such an exciting event, by the way, to watch. The second row, Fosch is fifth favorite. I just don't agree with that. That's just
wrong.
That's not right. On 21, Cataneo 21. That's based on his recent TT in Poland that he won. Geraint Thomas 29, Pogacar 34, Dennis 41, Tarling 41. That's really the second row, and then everyone else is huge odds. I like GB here. I think I'm gonna pick one of the GB guys is gonna top three.
Okay.
At least definitely top five, but one of them will top three. Thomas Shape after the tour. Did he do the tour? Giro. After the Giro. Dunno. Tarling looking good. But I don't see any of these guys winning. But Pogacar, has he been good in one-day TTs?
I don't think so.
Not as good as he's in the Tour. Like, he beat Kung in the Tour de France TT, the Stage 5 in 2021. Yeah,
yeah. I don't think in, actual world championships, but it's also the placement of those one-day TTs, because now we've got it in between the Tour and the Vuelta. It's closer to the Tour de France. That being said, in San Sebastian, after the Tour de France, he often was not great, but he was strong at the road race this time around, so I don't know if we can use Pogacar's previous one-day TTs as a guideline for this time trial, but I still believe he won't be able to make it against the pure time trialists here. So when it comes to Pogacar, I'm looking at a 5th to 9th position, and that's probably towards the 8th to 9th, I think.
Yeah, I think that's right. I agree with that. My dark horse and to win is Tarling.
Ooh.
That's a bit of a hard pick.
Why not?
I'll just do my pick straight. My pick to win is Tarling. Definitely the top three. I think this length of time trial, he gets better the longer the TT is. He's a huge engine. He's been doing these ridiculously long Britain has a fetish for these long A-road TTs that go for an hour plus. That's what he's been doing since he was a kid, and he's still 19 or 20. I think he top threes at least, and he's just a beast. And you saw his Wallonie TT, that was 8 seconds off Ganna. Well, if that was a good Ganna performance, maybe it wasn't. I don't know. I really like Tarling for this. I also like Bjerg. I think 126-1 Bjerg. Okay, yeah, Dauphiné, he only beat Vingegaard. That was an up and down TT. I'm not saying he's going to win. I don't think he will. But Bjerg top five wouldn't surprise me, actually. Maybe it would. But I'm surprised he's 126 and...
Yeah.
Cataneo is 21 or Foss is 21. I think Bjerg will probably beat Foss, but maybe that's discounting Foss a little bit too much.
When it comes to other outsiders, people will look at the Polonia time trial and say, okay, Almeida got second there, Thomas got third there, Fisher Black got fourth there. I won't lie, I don't have the highest confidence in those three to compete for the top five in this race. Even Thomas, even though the parkour on paper suits him, but he's in such a Vuelta a España preparation at the moment. It starts in about a small 3 weeks, if my math is remotely correct. So I think he's still in the build-up to the Vuelta. And therefore, I'm pointing at him also to be 5th to 9th like Pogacar. I could be wrong here. He could be better than that. But I've got less confidence in him than I do in Tarling, for example. Because Tarling's focus on this World Champs is probably harder than Thomas's is. While Fisher Black, for example, I don't see him in that top list yet. He can do the outsider results. Almeida, similarly. Cataneo is one where I kind of feel like he could surprise with a 5th or 4th position. Because he's got these moments in these random time trials, especially the longer ones where he can use his engine, where he can suddenly pop up in the top 5. And it wouldn't surprise me if that's this time trial, for example. But he could just as well be 9th or 10th. So it's one of those riders that could be one or the other. But I lean more towards 4th and 5th right now. And the thing about Foss is, yeah, you said it, that 4th favorite or 5th favorite, whatever it was, 5th, I think. I don't see it because, he hasn't done it anymore. He 9th in that Polonia TT, 8th in a Tour de Rome in the TT. That was a pretty mountainous one, though. But then again, that shit on paper fit him. Then a prologue he did well in, but this ain't the prologue. This is a long TT. In Paris-Nice was a team time trial, so it's hard to quantify what that means for a regular individual time trial, and in Algarve, he was pretty far off the top prize eater, finishing behind the likes of Martinez. And yes, last year he had the same, like he came out of kind of nowhere when it comes to this time trial to the top result. Yes, he had some TT results, but nothing near what he did. So if he just shows up at the top step again, then congrats to him, but I don't see it at the moment. And I guess, should I go for my pick as well, or should I? Should we continue about other riders first?
I got to give a shout out to Australia with Dennis and Jay Vine. Yeah. I mean, they'll be going for a top six, maybe. I mean, top five they'll be hoping for, but I think we'll see both of them in the top 10. There's a lot of riders who I'm like, oh, yeah, they'll finish seventh or sixth, and that sort of region, like a Cavagnar, who we, you know, who knows where Cavagnar will finish? Probably fifth, sixth.
Isn't this exactly what Rohan Dennis was preparing for the entire year? Because, like,
I don't know.
On paper, this is, Harrogate was his. It's much later. It's at a point in his career where he has been, he was a solid domestique in the Giro. I think his individual time trials this year were not good. He had one decent one in Gran Camino, where he lost from Vingegaard in a TT that on paper should fit him. And in the Giro, he didn't really get the opportunity for the individual time trials because it seemed like he was saving energy looking at the results that he was getting there. In Tour de Suisse, we didn't see him do the final time trial, if I recall correctly. The first time trial, he got 36, but that was a prologue of 12.7, so an initial time trial of 12.7 kilometers.
Yeah, but he was good at them.
Back in the day, yes.
Well, yeah, well, that wasn't that long ago.
So
then you have your answer.
I don't think he will be that good.
Probably not. Anyway, we'll see how Australia go. Yeah, I think that's all the main guys. I mean, Bissiger, yeah, Bissiger's another just outsider. It's hard to know. Like, there's, if you ask me, do it, who will, you know, head to head between like a Cavagnar and a Bissiger? It really depends on the shape, on.
Mate. Well,
yeah, it's hard.
Mate. Yeah. Head to head between Craddock and Aramirai, who's going to win there?
Craddock's in good shape. I mean, Craddock in the road race was really, really good. Craddock in the tour was good. I'm going to go Craddock.
Are you going to bet your house on it?
Repeat my mistakes of yesteryear. But yeah, I think it's going to be a really, really interesting time trial with the hills at the end. Maybe it'll be, I'm hoping we'll have the last intermediate check and then really, really close between four riders and then the last hill decides it. Heartbreak for some, jubilation for others. That would be the perfect end to this TT. What's your podium, Benji? Mine is first Josh Tarling, second Remco, third Wout van Aert.
I am going to go for... It's really close for me between van Aert, Evenepoel, and Kung. And I'm Belgian, so I would automatically be question to select a Belgian ride there, but fuck it. I'm neutral today. And therefore I select Stefan Kung as the top prize winner. It's very unlikely because he always is the bridesmaid. But Stefan Kung wins ahead of Van Aert silver because on brand, Evenepoel third.
Okay, that's the men's TT. I think it's going to be a cracker. I can't wait to watch unless Remco brings his Giro Stage 1 shape, in which case it's all over by the second intermediate. Or maybe Ganna's surprise. Who knows? These long TTs, they're actually much more exciting, in my opinion, than the shorter 30K TTs because they just can have much weirder results. And I just can't wait. Anyway, that's the men's TT. The women's TT, 36Ks, similar course. They start in Stirling. They go out on the A road, take the right-hander, but then they take a left onto, I don't know, some other B road, B8 something, and go back down and sort of skip the longer Kippen loop. They don't do the loop around Kippen and that hill. They come back a bit shorter. They still go up Gaggenau and Lecky Road, where there's the second intermediate check, and then they do touch road as well. So it's 180 meters elevation gain in 36Ks. It's about the same, you know, 5 meters elevation gain per kilometer, same as the men's. Just 12K shorter. They just cut out the Kippen loop. And yeah, with that punch up to Stirling Castle. And this is an interesting start list as well. And another one that really, like, with the information that we have, or rather don't have, it's very difficult to say exactly what you think will happen, because normally you say Marlon Reusser is the heavy, heavy favorite. She is the favorite without Ellen van Dijk being here. And who is here for the Netherlands, Wollinger Marcus? And that would be true, except Chloe Dygert's racing. And Chloe Dygert's this sort of generational talent. She's on the start list. And like last, when was it? 2020 was the last World Champs TT she did, 3 years ago, four races ago. And that was the one she crashed in Imola, and she was up on Van der Brecken, and that's kind of derailed her career for the last 3 years. And she won the World Championships TT in Harrogate by a minute 30 on Van der Brecken. So who knows? Dygert looked pretty good early in the season in road races. I think, yeah, it's like, I don't know what shape Dygert is in, because if Dygert is in her best possible shape, she will win this TT. But maybe am I discounting how good Reusser was?
I feel like if we take a look at how we analyzed Reusser in the past, in the head-to-head with Ellen van Dijk for a second, didn't we always come to the conclusion, I don't know if we changed that somewhere last year, that she ended up being weaker in the second half of a long time trial? Because I recall her being a Bissiger-like character where she's between 20 and 30 kilometers with an ideal in a time trial. Now, without Van Dijk there, she's on paper the head favorite, if we don't think about the likes of a Dygert for a second, because she's still bloody strong in a long time trial. But then again, Brown beat her last year. So I think it might be closer thanks to the fact that it's still 36 kilometers this time. But it's not 23, it's not 20, it's not 25. So I don't necessarily have it that close together either, but I still have Reusser against all the rest of the competition. Now, I don't know what to expect from Dygert. I'll be honest about that, because it's very hard to quantify the level that she will arrive with based on the results that she had, because they're mostly road race results this year. And I can't base it off the American ITT either. She didn't have a major gap on Lauren Stevens in the ITT National Championships, if I recall, this year. I think it was like 10 seconds, 8 seconds, something like that. I've got a question, though. Maybe you're aware of this. Maybe Luke, the producer, knows this. But we take a look at the start list of this race. We know that the women have a elite championships, and they have a junior one. They don't have a separate U23 category, I think. And if we then take a look at the riders that are signed up, for example, for Belgium here, we've got an 18-year-old, Febe Joris, who was third, if I recall correctly, at the women's junior race of the World Championships last year. She's now 18. And is she in that Belgian team because she's not eligible anymore, because she's past the date to be eligible for the junior race? Because I thought some 18-year-olds are still in the junior race, I think, and some are in the elite race.
I don't know. Where will she come in the TT?
I don't think in this elite one very far, but she could fight for the win in the junior if she's eligible, which if she's here, she probably isn't.
Yeah.
But is there a U23 battle here as well then?
I don't know. Maybe let's round off the top favorites for the elite first.
Yes.
Chloe Dygert won the individual pursuit by like 8 seconds, I think, last week on the track. So she's obviously in very, very good shape. That's a 4-kilometer event that Ganna beat Bigham in. And so I think, yeah, she's in good shape. And back to your point on Reusser, that was the European Championship. She beat Van Dijk last year. That was 24Ks. And then she lost, you know, by a lot in the 36K. Oh, no. Yeah, 34K World Championships event. And so, again, how much did she beat Vollering by this year as well? Like 10 seconds in the Tour de France TT, 8 seconds in the Tour de Swiss TT. But those were a lot healier than what we have here. So, you know, I think she's probably a little bit short. I think Dygert should be the favorite, actually.
Really?
Vollering is the third favorite at 650. Grace Brown, who came second last year, but that was the odd Australian TT, is fourth favorite at $12. Marcus, 15. Glazzini was, I think, fifth last year or fourth in the World Champs TT in Australia, 51, then Labou, 67. So really, the two, it's Reusser, Daggett, Vollering, and then Brown with about a, 8% chance is there. She looked good in the Po TT, which was hillier than this, but, she's correctly priced. And, second last year. So who do you think it... I think it definitely does suit Reusser that it's not as hilly as those Swiss and Po TTs. I think Vollering, I don't see it. Maybe the length, like 36K suits her as someone with like her, if she can do a Tourmalet Watts for that long, but I think it's right that she's third favorite. Is there anyone really out of those four, like kind of like the men's, I would be really surprised if anyone else came in the top three apart from those top four. Marcus didn't look good in the Tour de France Femme. I really think Brown is the only other one that could come in the top three. Am I missing anybody?
No, I agree, to be honest. Like, Kiezenhofer is like a top 10 candidate. We know that every single year. Norsgaard has a solidity every now and then, but I'm also looking at a 10 to 15 position, roughly, maybe an 8th position, something like that. Labou, same thing, 8 to 15th position, that area. So all these other riders, I'm looking at that thing. And when it comes to Marcus and Vollering, like Vollering had the better Tour de France TT. We know that Marcus had the ITT women's race. I expect them. How much will the TDFF influence this race? I don't know. Like, how much has Vollering been partying after the Tour de France Femme? It's also a good question. I agree. I feel like outside of those favorites, I don't see anyone that will necessarily suddenly show up out on top, but I've got this feeling that because of the longer time trial, because we haven't really seen that this year either for Reusser on the plate, that we don't know if she's gotten better at the longer time trials. And I somewhat feel like we might be sleeping on Grace Brown as a consequence.
Yeah, she's got the Jayco setup. Oh, no, she doesn't have the Jayco setup. She was on that team and then they didn't re-sign her. She's still got... Yeah, she's... I don't know. Maybe it does, yeah, because it's a similar length to in last year in Wollongong. Amber Neben, if we throw back all the way back to the Harrogate TT, where Reusser actually finished 3 minutes down on Daggett, but that was when, in 2019, she was still on the WCC team. She wasn't on her... slick SD work setup, but Amber Neben, she's on the provisional list for America, not confirmed list, 48 years old. She's a specialist in the ITT. She actually won in 2016 and 2008. But she came third in the national champs in the United States, only 33 seconds behind Daggett. So Daggett will need to do a better result than that, I think, to win. That was on the end of June. So America got a really good, they got Stevens as well. They got really good time trialists, but yeah, that's just one. Be like, if you're like, who's Amber Neben? Be like, she is a specialist. She's always, she doesn't even do, she only does national events now pretty much. but yeah, she's got a lot of power. I think that's pretty clear. Reusser's setup, is it that much better than last year? I don't know. I'm just going to go with Daggett, Benji. I think, like with my pick with Tarling, I'm going to assume she's in the best shape possible. I think she's the most one of the most talented riders in the world. And yeah, I think she just wins this time trial by a big margin too. Like, I think if she does win, it's going to be by a big margin because she's by far the best. I don't think it's going to be by a small margin. And if she doesn't, she doesn't win, then I'm not even sure if she comes in the top three. She's kind of that sort of rider. But Reusser, yeah, never a better chance to win with Ellen van Dijk out. Yeah. You think Vollering has a chance or no? Is it too flat?
I wonder how much the recovery between days in the Tour de France Femme helped her in the pole time trial versus other riders who are not necessarily GC riders, So... because 8 days in a row, the 8th day is a time trial without a rest day in between those 8 days. That means that it's also about the fatigue that you build up throughout those days and your ability to handle that fatigue over 8 days. And Fording's very good at that, and we saw that in the Paul time trial. And I think that's also one of the reasons where I don't necessarily see her winning here. And I expect her close. I expect her top five, but I don't have her on the top step here. And when it comes to Royster, I've said my story about her. I understand that she's the favorite going into this based on the last year, especially knowing that Van Dijk is not here. But I like the idea of an upset in my head, so I'm going for Grace Brown instead.
Nice. You're doing the Australian job for me, but yeah, that's going to be my podium too.
Sorry, but quite offensive that you're not choosing Faber Jordis as your winner, as a Belgian. Don't say who is that.
She is good. She finished a minute behind Capecchi in the... Yeah. Wait, where's Capecchi?
Focusing on the road race.
That's mental. Where's she coming? She's doing the wout. She wouldn't beat Royster. She wouldn't beat Royster. She finished 40 seconds after in the Helio Po TT. She could medal, but yeah, you're right. She just thinks she can't win, so she's not going to do it. But yeah, costing Belgium a medal, Benji. You're right. She's doing the wout from last year. That worked out well in Wollongong. But yeah, my podium, Daggett, Royster, Vollering third. Pretty straightforward. And yeah, that's the TT. I think we'll have a pretty good idea at the first intermediate, actually. And you've got to remember there is no U23 road race for the women, is there? And no time trial either, even though you wouldn't have to hold a separate time trial event?
So this was an entire big discussion over the last 2 years that there is no separate U23 race. And then they implemented, I think it was last year, the first year, or 11 was the first year, if I recall correctly, where they implemented a U23 jersey for the first U23 rider in the road race. And if I recall, might be in the ITT, I don't know if it's in the ITT as well. I actually don't know, but I would expect so based on what they said. I don't mind there not being a separate ITT race, because it doesn't really matter, eh? Like, it's not like they cross over the line and have their hands in the air as the winner in a time trial anyway. But when it comes to a road race, I just want a separate U23 road race. Sorry, but I feel like that's the bare minimum, and they're planning that, so let's hope it's come soon.
Yeah, that's always a strange one, and yeah. Especially the national champs as well. Some national championships award it when it's the same race, and that's just, mate, I find that very strange.
We've got isn't it the Slovakian and Czech won the same race?
Yeah.
The national championships?
Is the Baltic ones all the same? Do.
Really? I don't know.
Don't know. If Estonia, Latvia and Lithuania all do the same in the same race. Yeah. But anyway, can't wait. The women's, as I said, is on Thursday. The men's is on Friday. And yeah, let's see. Will the Chloe Daggett of Harrogate, the generational super talent, will that reappear this Thursday? I can't wait to see. Remco or Belgium finally win a TT World Championships on Friday? And Benji's got one more thing.
One more thing. I feel like we have... I wasn't expecting Niedermayer to be on the women's start list.
Yeah, she's small, right?
Yes, but she's a good time trialist, though.
Hmm.
I don't know if it's remotely competitive, though, because we haven't seen her at a World Tour level TT, but wouldn't surprise me if she's suddenly sixth or seventh. Anyway, that was my last saying.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, she did well in the German national champs, but that was without, I don't think Lisa Klein or Brennau did that, so that's hard for me to really evaluate. That's the difficulty with a lot of the women's TTs. Like, that's the only individual time trial what she's done in...
I think that she rode the U23 ITT in Germany with a better time than the women's elite national ITT.
Right.
Which I don't know what that means for the world championships, but I guess we'll see next time.
Oh, that was the U23. Okay, sorry, yeah. That was the U23 one. That was why I wasn't. See, that's just silly. I think there's another one that did that... Maybe the Hungarian TT as well was a bit strange. The U23 and the elite one. But New Zealand did it as well. Yeah. I think if you do the fastest time, you should probably... it's not... I don't know. That's a separate discussion. But we've also got a lot of transfer news at the moment. We haven't reached critical mass yet. Like Milan just got announced to Trek.
Yeah.
once we get, I don't know, some teams haven't announced anything, like Quickstep and Jumbo, UAE have announced everything, Ineos have announced nothing. Once we get a critical mass of signings, we'll do a transfer recap. I think that'll be after World Championships.
Yes.
But yeah, thanks as always for listening. Let us know your picks down below and we'll see you with the recap of the women's on Thursday. Till then, ciao.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.